March 1st, Venerable Francis Gonzaga, Confessor, First Order. Francis of the House of Gonzaga was born in the year 1546 at Gazzolo near Mantua and was given the name Hannibal in Holy Baptism. Indications of his high calling were in evidence early in his life. His companions were accustomed to call him the Little Friar because of his modesty, his piety, and his special attraction for religious. When his elementary studies had been completed, he was sent to the Spanish court to be educated with the son of King Philip, but here he also lived not for the world, but for God and for his studies. He had listened to a sermon on the vanities of the world delivered by a renowned Franciscan preacher, and this, together with the reading of the history of the order, caused him to resolve to don the Franciscan habit. Despite all obstacles and contrary to the will of the king, Philip II, who had great plans in mind for this talented young man, he entered the convent at Alcalá on May 17, 1562, and received the religious name of Francis. When his studies were completed, he was sent back to Italy. There he taught theology in the convent at Mantua, and in the year 1578, he was elected provincial of the province of St. Anthony in Mantua. The general chapter, which convened in Paris 1579, elected him minister general of the entire order. For 8 years, he administered this responsible office with superior wisdom, great zeal for religious discipline, and such deep humility that he joined his brethren in the performance of the lowliest duties, and was not ashamed to beg from door to door for food for the brethren. Filled with zeal for the welfare of his order, he undertook the visitation of the provinces of Spain, France, the Netherlands, and Germany, always making his journeys on foot. At the Spanish court, he put the vocation of his holy nephew, Aloysius Gonzaga, to the test, because the youth's father had requested it of him. Having recognized his calling to the Society of Jesus as a coming from on high, Francis took him along on his return journey to Italy and zealously strove to remove the obstacles that were preventing his admission. Francis also wrote a famous history of the Seraphic Order, which enjoys great distinction even to this day. It is dedicated to Pope Sixtus V, who himself belonged to the Franciscan Order. Several times Francis was nominated by the popes for the highest ecclesiastical honors, but the humble servant of God was able to induce them to refrain from the nomination. However, in the year 1587, by order of Pope Sixtus V, he was obliged to accept the bishopric of Cefalo in Sicily, and from there he was transferred to the bishopric of Mantua. But even as a prince of the church, he wore the coarse habit of St. Francis under the episcopal robes, and despite the great strain of his labors, he practiced the same rigorous penance as formerly in his convent. When King Philip II of Spain and Henry IV of France waged a bitter war against each other, Pope Clement VIII sent Francis as his legate to the princes to negotiate terms of peace. His great prudence effected the desired result. After a successful admission of the Diocese of Mantua, administration of the Diocese of Mantua, which extended over 27 years, Francis died in the Order of Sanctity, March 11, 1620, the 74th year of his life. When Pope Paul V learned of his death, he cried out, "He was a great servant of God, a mirror and example to all prelates of Holy Church." Many miracles had occurred at his grave, and the Holy See has introduced the process of his beatification. His body, still garbed in the Franciscan habit, beneath the episcopal robes, reposes before the high altar in the cathedral at Mantua, and was found intact as late as the year 1866. On Christian Wisdom. Consider how Christian wisdom is shown forth in the life of Venerable Francis. This virtue consists, first of all, in estimating all things according to their true worth. Francis did that. In consequence, he preferred the service of God to the service of an earthly king. For that reason, too, he declined high honors and preferred to serve God in poverty and seclusion rather than in wealth and in the elevated position with such great responsibility. It is wisdom of this type that Christ recommends when he says, "Be wise as serpents," Matthew 10:16. For serpents protect their heads, the most important organ, above all else, even though their bodies must suffer. And so as a wise Christian should, above all else, concern himself about that which is most important, his soul. In order to protect it from harm and To preserve a good conscience, he readily foregoes material things. The wisdom of the world and of the flesh, on the other hand, eagerly strives for the false goods of wealth and honor and of appetite, even if the internal goods must thereby be sacrificed. Have you until now possessed worldly wisdom or Christian wisdom? 2. Consider that Christian wisdom must manifest itself in applying the proper means to the acquisition of the true and eternal goods, according to the circumstances of time, place, and person. Venerable Francis did this so prudently that he met with the happiest results in the government of the order, no less than in the episcopate, and in mediating peace between princes. Many a one desires what is good, but his imprudent zeal, his lack of patience and foresight, caused him more frequently to be hindered than benefited by it. Hence the Holy Spirit says, "Wisdom orders all things sweetly." Wisdom 8:1. And in the book of Proverbs 14:29 we read, "He that is patient is governed with much wisdom, but he that is impatient exalts his folly." How do you conduct yourself? 3. Consider how necessary it is to possess Christian wisdom. Theologians class it as the first of the four cardinal virtues, and St. Bernard says, "Prudence is a regulator and guide of the other virtues. Take it away, and virtue is no more a virtue, but a fault." It is not only a necessary qualification for men in official positions or in public life, but also for women in the circle of their homes. Hence the Apostle writes, "The aged woman must teach the younger women to be wise." And how? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, sober, having care of the house, gentle, obedient to their husbands. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. Christian wisdom is not a gift of nature, but rather a gift of grace, for which we should, like Solomon, earnestly beseech God. Prayer of the Church. We beseech you, Almighty God, that being ever occupied with holy thoughts, we may seek both in words and works to do what is pleasing in your sight, through Christ our Lord. Amen.